Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Q&A call for the month of February 2020. And I'm excited to have you all here. And if you are here for the Vital Q&A call, you are in the right place. Congratulations. And if you're not, well, I don't know how you got here, but you're welcome to stay if you want to. So this is a call which is set up for the Vital Health Community. And we have a lot of new members as of December, January, so welcome if you're a new member. And the way that these calls work is that you get to come and ask me questions. If you've got, you know, something, question about a particular food, a particular recipe, a particular health condition, I can't do diagnosis. This is not intended to be replacing a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare practitioner. It's not medical advice, but what it is education to help you make really good choices about what you're doing and how you are proceeding with your health changes. And congratulations, you're here. It means that you care about your health. And, you know, you're amongst the chosen few, I will say, who really care enough about their health to invest time to be on calls like this and just continuing to learn. And I believe that the more you learn about how your body works, better decisions, the better choices you can make. And when I was growing up, I lived in New York, and there was a commercial on TV, and it said, Barney's, the educated consumer, is our best customer, right? So you guys need to be the educated consumer of health information. You need to be educating yourself about how your body works and what's the best way to keep it nice and balanced. So the Vital Community, for those of you who are new, this is one of three calls you get in a month. The second one is a health topic call, which we did, I think it was last week or the week before, on fasting. So if you haven't watched it, it's loaded up to your membership site. Go ahead and watch the recording. And then you also get a kitchen, in the kitchen call. And last month was, what did we do last month? We had a fun one last month, but now I don't remember what we did. I made a whole lot of really good things. Pizza! It was pizza! So if you haven't watched pizza, go ahead and watch it because it was fun and I made all kinds of pizza crusts. And now I have all these extra pizza crusts that I made that I can just make a neat meal all at once, just like if I make a quick sauce and throw it all together. So that's what you're getting here. And we also have, if you haven't already joined, our Unstoppable Health Community. That's a much larger community, but there's just a lot of people sharing a lot of really great recipes and ideas and talking and having conversations. And we're having a conversation there that had started last week. We're talking about lab testing and all the little things in your blood that are, you know, maybe good clues as to what some of the health issues that you're suffering from are. And every Wednesday we're doing a little pop-up group in there where we can talk about it and go into detail and talk about some of the mindset things that keep us back, talk about some of the habit things. So you're welcome to join. That's on Facebook, the Unstoppable Health Community, and then we also have the Vital Health Community out there. So all that said, the way that you get support is you can either type in a question or you can raise your hand, and I will open up your line, and I can ask your question. Personally, I like to talk to people better than I like to answer questions on the screen, but that's just me. So I see Mary already raised her hand. That's awesome. Before I get to Mary and before I get to anybody else that has questions and wants to talk, I'd like to check the Q&A because if you can't come to a call and you want to answer to a question, you can type it into the Q&A in advance. All you have to do is click the link in the email you were sent. And I like to look at those first, so if somebody can't make it, they can listen to the beginning of the call and hear their answer. So, and we have one from Barbara Nellen. I'm a type 2 diabetic and I've been on a keto diet for almost 6 months. My blood sugars are not coming down. Is this my tissues releasing all the sugar that's been packed away for 12 years or gluconeogenesis? I'm on 20 to 30 carbs per day, traditional keto, not vegan. I also do intermittent fasting, and I do 1 to 2 meals a day and about 6 hour feeding window. So I need more fasting. I've lost 22 pounds, and at 63 I consider that a victory and feel fantastic, but I've been stalled for 3 months. My fasting is always high, it's just a day, and was 110 down from 300 pre-Rita-Marie, yay, and it's now 180 to 200. So it's gone up. So your fasting has gone up on the keto. So you need to be making some changes to the way that you're doing it. I don't know if you do postprandials, but I would be looking at your postprandial glucoses as well, and also stress levels to do it. I cut down on meds thinking that maybe that might help sugar exit, and I'm frustrated. Briefly, after starting my keto, my fasting sugars were going down, but then started steadily rising until they plateaued at about 180, which is my body considered a stress. After 6 months, I think it's the new norm. Yeah, so sometimes the body gets adjusted. So here's one thing that you can try is alternation, keeping the body guessing. Once the body gets to like, oh, this is all you're feeding me, so it's going to decrease its metabolic rate, and it's going to try to grab sugar from wherever it can get it. So what you may try is you can do this in, I'll describe several ways you can do it, and it helps with just hormone flexibility, and it can help you a lot. I think that if you haven't done a longer-term fast, I would consider anywhere from 24 hours to 5 days as a fast to reset. I'd also recommend that you test your ketones to see where the ketones are going. So a continuous glucose meter might be helpful, too, to see is your glucose in the morning higher than your glucose when you go to bed? So those are good questions. Because if it's going up during the night, let me know why is it going up during the night. Are you eating too close to bedtime? It sounds like not. You're eating in a six-hour window. So all the common things that come up for me. But I would look at some, variability in your diet. So if you're doing like a six-hour feeding window, I would do that 5 days a week. And then one day a week, I would do 24-hour fast. So it's zero. You go dinner one day to dinner the next, or lunch one day to lunch the next, or breakfast one day to breakfast the next, whatever you prefer. And then I would do one feasting day. And not that the feasting day is going out and eating pizza and beer. I would say that the feeding day, I would do something like increase your carbs and increase your protein with good stuff. It may make your sugar temporarily go up, but it sounds like it's already up, so it's worth a try. So maybe you have more blueberries and strawberries. Maybe you have a little bit more in the carb, maybe a starchy vegetable. It sounds like if you're doing 20 to 30 carbs a day, I want to know what kind of carb that is. Is that a starchy carb? Is that a fruit carb? Or is that vegetable carb? I'm going to just be honest. I do a more of a plant-based keto, and my carb intake is close to 100, and I stay in ketosis. Why? Because most of it is fiber from the vegetables. Right? I don't have any starchy vegetables. I don't have any grains, and I don't have any anything else that's sugary. I don't have hardly any fruit. So what I would recommend, Barbara, is that you post, that you keep track, and I'd like to see what is it exactly you're eating within that 6 hour window. I would look at calorically. I would look at the macronutrient ratios. You can do that by getting an app called Chronometer, and it just puts your stuff in there. You may be deficient in certain nutrients, and you were fine at the beginning, but a traditional keto, which doesn't have enough vegetables, enough greens, can cause you to be low in electrolytes and some of the other minerals. So I would be looking at something like Chronometer and putting everything in Chronometer and doing that for a week and watching. And don't do anything different. Just do it that way. And just watching your numbers, your percentage of carb, fat, and glucose. Carb, fat, and protein, right? And looking at, are you eating too much protein? When you're eating in a keto kind of a way, oftentimes people make a mistake of having too much protein, and some of that protein actually gets broken down into the branched-chain amino acids, which can get broken down into the sugar. Right? So those are all little considerations that I would think about. And then do that for a week. See what's going on and try some variation in what you're doing. The variation can help you break through a fat cell. So great question. Thank you. All right. So a lot of people here. Yeah. All right. So I see Mary has her hand up. Anybody else? Star 2 will raise your hand. I saw Anthony, you were on, looks like you're on the web call and you're not hearing. So you must, there must be something with your microphone he can't hear me, so I don't know why I'm talking to him. But that would be something to write into the chat. All right. So Mary, hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I have a quick question for you. So just wanted to know, So one of the practitioners that I'm working with, she's suggested that I up the week before my cycle with progesterone growing foods, or hormone building foods. And some of the ones on her list are things like beans, potatoes, squash, quinoa, tropical fruits, citrus fruits, of which the only citrus fruit I have is like lemon. So I don't eat any of these foods. So my other naturopath has put me on a progesterone. I don't know if you're familiar with Douglas Lab, but they have this progesterone supplement called Progestomed. And I started it, I think, in December. So prior to that, my cycle being pre-menopause, whatever you want to call it, before that, I hadn't had my cycle for, I guess, since July, for about maybe 6 months. But as soon as I started the progesterone med, my cycle started. Mind you, it's been spotting. It's not like a big, nice flow or anything like that. So I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll supplement the week before with some progesterone foods to help that as well go along. But I don't eat any of these foods. So
okay.
My concern
is... I can think of other things that could be more helpful. I mean, I don't even consider those progesterone foods. The thing, when you look at seed cycling, do a search on seed cycling, hormone seed cycling. The ones
So just the nuts and seeds cycling, but that's only two things.
Right. You have sunflower seeds and sesame seeds. Okay?
Right.
And then there's other things that you can do to help increase your progesterone. I don't know that those seeds help. I don't know that those foods you mentioned. I've never seen any connection between tropical fruits and progesterone production.
I'm going to tell you, I tried it before I did the progesterone med. I tried some of the stuff. It didn't work anyhow, and I was too paranoid to even eat them just because of the other issue, endometrial issue I have. So, yeah.
The sesame seeds and sunflower seeds?
No. I'm talking about the beans, potatoes, squashes, quinoa.
Yeah. I would be careful with those. I would be very careful because they're high glycemic, and you've had issues with your blood sugar before. So I would be careful with that. I'm not going to tell you to go against your doctor's orders, but I'm just saying, you know, I would look at the sesame and anything else that's on that list. But have you looked at
Chasteberry? Are you talking about Chasteberry?
Yes.
Chasteberry. Is that that's a supplement, or is that...
You can get it as a tincture. I'm not sure if you can get the whole herb. I'd have to look to see. But
okay.
I usually feed it as a tincture or capsules. Let me just see.
Okay. So it's
a really good video I saw that they showed how pretty they are. So they are a flower.
Yes.
The fruit of the chase tree. Let's see. I'm going to just see if something like mountain rose. They have everything, so.
Yes.
They don't have it. It's like, let's see. Mountain rose herbs. Here you go.
I have a feeling, I'm just going to check, that the Douglas Lab, the actual supplement might actually have that in it, now that I'm thinking about it. Actually, let me just check here. It's got the first ingredient. It's got 40 milligrams of chasteberry. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's in the Douglas Lab supplement, the Progestromend I'm taking. So do I require more than that?
No, I wouldn't say you do. I mean, I think, how old are you, Mary? You're close to menopause, right?
I'll be 50 this year. I don't want to say that.
I mean, it's possible that this is it, girl. Like, this is menopause.
I feel great, though. Like, I don't really, like,
well, you don't have
what?
To feel. I felt great going to menopause. I just didn't have periods.
I know, but I wanted to last as long as possible. Also, given the fact that I'm going through this endometrial challenges, I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, is it going to make it worse? You know, so I'm just getting paranoid, I think.
Yeah, you don't want to be messing endometrial stuff. So I think I would just say add the sesame seeds and the sunflower seeds sunflower. And any of those other foods that you can eat on that list. But I wouldn't be you're taking something that's gonna promote progesterone. You said you did start to cycle again, and you may be fighting with nature at this point.
Well, with the endometrial issue too, because I did my Dutch test, so my progesterone level is low, and my estrogen metabolites are not going in the direction that we'd like it to go. It's gotten better though, which is good.
Okay. So the things I would look at, yes, progesterone, right? And if you wanted to just straight out supplement with progesterone cream, you can do that as well. But take those seeds, and then in terms of the estrogen, you want to get rid of the bad metabolites and more cruciferous vegetables help with that. Even getting some broccoli sprout powder is good.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, yeah, I got that. It's just that I'm not always consistent taking it because I always forget about taking these powders.
You forget about it taking it, yeah.
And yeah, I keep on forgetting.
Or supplements like GIM or I3C, but, you know.
Yes, that I have.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the interesting thing is, and on her list as I'm looking here, she says estrogen with the seed cycling. So she says estrogen building foods like flax seeds, and then she has sesame seeds. But I thought the seed cycle is the other way around. It's flax seeds and pumpkin seeds for estrogen building, and then progesterone,
it's sesame seeds
and sunflower seeds.
That's right.
Now, okay, so with that seed cycling, really quickly, do they have to be grinded or can I just eat them?
Just eat them. You know, of course, you know, with all your training in raw foods and all, that's like to soak them first, especially sunflower, you know, the sesame. Mm-hmm. But even sesame, you can soak them. And
okay, so I don't know why. I know that with flax seeds, obviously grinding is best, and chia seeds is either grinding or you soak them.
Yeah.
But for like sesame seeds and for sunflower seeds,
just because they're so tiny,
so
right?
Small, yes.
Right, you may not be able to chew them adequately. So the sunflower you can chew. You can make sunflower butter, sesame butter, a combination.
Okay.
Get some tahini, you know, add some, I don't know, something flavorful to it, and you know, make tahini dressing. I love tahini dressing. It's one of my favorites.
Right. Yes, me too. So, okay, I had the assumption that I had to grind all four of those as well, but I guess I don't. So if I could chew pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and soak them, which is normally I do, that's perfect. Now, the only thing is sometimes if my cycle – so right now my cycle seems to be kind of starting, spotting, whatever it is. I don't even know. Like for the 6 months, I couldn't even do seed cycling because I didn't know what day was number one and what day was number 20 anymore.
Yeah.
So
in that regard, given your low progesterone, I would just stick to you can't do seed cycling. And given the situation with the estrogen, I would just do the sunflower and sesame. And if it's not every day, try to get that in there.
Okay, so you're going to have to just repeat that because you're getting caught. You got your echoing. I don't know if anybody else is hearing an echo behind. But
I heard a little crunch on your side, so maybe something blocked out. But I said that given you don't have a strict cycle and you don't know, I would just do the sunflower and sesame all month long. Just keep doing it. If you miss a day here or there, it's not a big deal.
Okay. So just continue with this, make sure I understood. So just continue with the sunflower and the sesame seeds just to help with the progesterone.
Right.
If one doesn't know what the cycling is. And then just skip the flax and the pumpkins?
I would skip the flax and the pumpkin right now. Because you said your estrogen was on the high side and the metabolites were high, right?
No, my estrogen is actually not high. I think my estrogen. I know. I'm trying to get. I'm trying to sort this one out. So there's an imbalance. The estrogen is not high. Because there's an imbalance, it appears that the estrogen is obviously a little bit more than the progesterone.
So here's the things that I would look at in your thing. Look at estriol.
Yes.
That's E3. That divide should be able to be divided by E1 and E2, estradiol and estrone, and that number should be 1 or greater. Okay? If that's the case, then that's a good level. If not, and the estriol tends to be on the lower side and the others are on the higher side, possible it's an iodine deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you want to look at is the 4-6 and 2 ratios, which they have a little pie chart that you can see.
Right, yes.
Okay.
So,
and the 4 you want is small. You want it to be like under 10%. The 16 are in the teens, and then the 2 the rest of it.
So the 16 and the 2 and the 4, right?
Yes.
So which one was the good one again?
The 2.
The 2 is not high enough, and then which is the worst of the 2? Which
four.
Is the 16? The four, I think, so I think the 4 is is the troubling one.
Okay. So that's where the dim, the broccoli sprouts, yeah, and the sulforaphane and all that kind of stuff will help to cool that down.
Okay.
Okay. And anything that supports your liver, too. So one of the things I love to make is Liver Lovers Gomashio. So I take milk thistle seeds, I grind them up, or milk thistle seed extract either way, some broccoli seeds, grind them up, and then put some sesame seeds in there, and then put some seaweed in there. And grind them all up, put the seaweed in there. Then you can use that to flavor your food. You put a little salt in there, too, or you can put whatever seasoning you like. And you have a really nice little seasoning salt that's easy to spray, sprinkle on everything. And that'll help. I call it Liver Lovers Gomashio.
Yeah, I was doing that for a little while. You also have that in one of your recipes as well, like the combinations of these in one of your smoothie recipes, which I was eating quite regularly as well, which I think because I was doing a little bit of all that, my numbers have actually improved and my thyroid actually improved. It's just my TSH is just still low, but we're thinking it's a pituitary issue, so we're working on that. But everything is just low right now. I just want it to be
over. So I would focus on progesterone. I wouldn't focus on foods that are going to throw your blood sugar off. Whenever you're looking at creating dietary stuff, there's this double-edged sword, right? And we have to find the balance of foods for us. So there's this balance of foods that somebody thinks works for progesterone. But if you have insulin resistance or you have the tendency to high blood sugars with sugars, you're going to narrow that down to a group that's greater, right?
Yeah. Yeah, last month was a bit challenging, especially the week before my cycle. I don't know what was going on with me. I was having my sugar cravings like I normally haven't for a long, long, long time. But I mean, I'm not going to go and binge on like a donut or anything like that, but I would have had like something like that had a date in it or whatever the case is. You know what I mean? So very seldom, but it was just kind of an unusual craving. And I thought, okay, I must obviously not be, I'm not having enough greens. Like you know, my green consumption went down and my nut consumption goes up, which is not a good thing either. So
yeah, you need to really keep that green consumption up. It fills you up so much. And make sure you have enough magnesium. If you start to get that craving again, go for magnesium. Because the reason I connect that is magnesium is important for getting sugar into the cells. Magnesium is important for breaking down those hormones at the end of your cycle. You know, right before you go into your period, there's a big breakdown of hormones that's required in B6. And magnesium is super important there.
So is the magnesium should be taken as a supplement or as in terms of food because from the greens you're talking?
Well, more greens will help. So doing green juices, like if you're expecting your period or your period, green juices would be great because you're going to up your magnesium. But sometimes it just doesn't get in. I eat a ton of greens, and I have to take magnesium, liquid magnesium supplements, probably a couple of times a month. And if I don't, I get leg cramps. And then as soon as I start taking that, my leg cramps go away.
Well, I take magnesium on a regular basis, which is the glycinate, I think.
Okay. But so a little more. You see, that week before your period, you need a little more.
Got you. Okay.
Right.
Week before. And which is interesting because you know what? Actually, as a matter of fact, funny enough, my magnesium supplement has dropped in when I was seeing one of my healthcare practitioners, it actually came down in dosage actually last month.
Oh.
So that's interesting. So I was going down, I was taking four a day. I don't remember how many milligrams, but four a day. It's the pure encapsulation formula. So four a day, and I'm down to two a day now. So,
well, do four a day during the week before your period, and the rest of the month do the two.
Okay, that's good to know. Perfect. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good. Great.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So for those of you who are new, that's the kind of help I can offer you. What else? Who else needs support? Let me go into the Q&A. You can type it into the Q&A. Virginia. Hi, I have a question about sleep cycles and taking naps. One of my clients takes naps, but not for one or 5 hours, just a half an hour. So what happens with the cycle? That's to avoid the nap. You know, this is a great question, Virginia, because a lot of folks really swear by those naps. They call them power naps, and that they can get good, you know, deep and then come back out. I can't, personally. If I can't sleep for, like, a couple of hours, then I'm not gonna take a nap because I wake up more groggy after trying to take a nap. But other people, my son is like loves little naps, and he's driving cross country. He just stops every like, you know, 5 or 6 hours, and he takes a nap for 20 minutes and he gets back on the road and it works well for him. So what happens to the sleep cycle? There must be some trigger that is not making it, it allows you to get deep for a little bit. Maybe I can't. You know, maybe some people can get deep pretty quickly. I wear an Oura ring now. I've been monitoring cycles. And it's really interesting because all the stuff about sleep cycles and the hour and a half, I'm not actually seeing that. You know, I'm seeing it very differently on the Oura. Now, is the Oura ring really accurate? I don't know. You know, I've never gone and got hooked up to this machine. But, yeah, so I would say see how you feel. If you have the nap, if they feel good after the nap, then for a half an hour, then great, just they feel good. But if they're feeling more groggy and it's not really helping, then have them try sleeping an hour and a half of the nap. Yeah. Barbara, follow-up, thank you so much. Very good suggestions. I did track macros for 2 months until I got into the groove and I knew I could tolerate staying in my ketosis. I'll start it again. I'm in ketosis every day, pee and blood. Good. Eat green veggies, very few strawberries, twice a week. That's not much. No starchy veggies. Cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, artichoke, rarely green beans. No gluten. Nothing off plant or dairy keto. That's great. I started keto with a 36-hour fast, so I'll do that tonight and go as longer as possible. Last week my fasting was 200. Gosh. And I fasted until dinner. So 18 to 20-hour fast and glucose was 110 at the end of the fast. Yeah, well, I would love to see you go longer because you may need to just get into that that more efficient fat burning. But it sounds like you're still burning. There's glycogen to burn, and it's probably getting converted into glucose because at the end of a fast, you know, there's nothing. So it was 200, and then it went down to 110. So it did go down a bunch. After an evening, glucose can be 70 to 210 if you're well enough stress. Gary, my days on track. Yeah, do that for sure. Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, see, let us know how that goes. That variation can be super, super important. Super important. It sounds like you're eating well, right? And make sure you're not eating too much protein because with when you're in ketosis and you're eating a lower cal like that, you can actually get away with half of it. One thing I want you to do, here's a book called Faster Size. Read that book. It's fascinating research in there about how these particular exercises where you're tightening all your muscles for 30 seconds to a minute or you're shivering can actually trigger the body to start to burn the glucose. So it's fascinating and it may be something that you can add to your regime and see how it works. It's by Dr. Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, Wilson, Faster Size. All right. Let's go to chat. All right, hearing now, great. I don't see any other questions in there. I don't see any other hands up. Anybody else before we? Yeah, I'd love to hear if you have more questions. You want to talk to me? Star 2. Okay. Oh, somebody's asking about Julie. Yeah, we don't do video. These are just audio calls. All right. Good. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. I don't see anything else. Okay, two more hands went up. Yay. All right, so Richmond, Rosenberg, Texas. Hello? 832
Hello.
Phone number. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I had a question.
Who is this?
Great. This is Soraya.
Soraya.
Hi. My question is regarding, I recently had my full thyroid panel test results done, and I got that, and it turns out that my TSH is below the optimum level of 1.8 to 3, so mine is actually 1.55, I think.
That's fine.
Is that within range, or is that?
Yeah, that's within range. The newest research shows that it's better a little bit lower, like it, you know, between 1 and 2.5 is actually more likely to be what we're considering optimal. So that's not bad.
Oh.
What other, yeah.
So
what other numbers?
Okay. Oh, okay, because I was told that it was actually below the range. So, but my TH4 is a 6.1, which is right at the, towards the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the T3 is, I think it was like 78 or something.
That's low.
So that one's really low.
Mm-hmm. Did you get free T3 or free T4?
Yeah, I got all of those, but I don't have my test results in front of me, sorry. But those, based on what I can remember, they were in range. So I wasn't sure how, because my functional medicine doctor was saying that it was actually, I have low thyroid. So he's put me on a thyroid supplement. So I guess my question is, how does that impact my overall health, I guess? Because I've had difficulty trying to lose weight. I've done detoxes, I lose weight, and then I gain it back. My blood sugar, I did a 26-day vegan smoothie detox. But I also had some food with it in the evening. And my morning blood glucose throughout the whole time was in the high 60s to low 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was doing really well. And my glucose was like 86 when I got my test done. So and then the A1C was 5.1, I think.
So blood sugar seems good.
Yeah, so they were looking good, but now my morning glucose is back in the, like, in the low 90s.
Yeah, okay.
So because I'm not following.
Yeah, you're not following that same diet.
Yeah, because I'm not eating as much greens, because on that one, it was the green smoothie girl detox.
Yeah.
And so I was eating an excessive amount of greens. So a lot of non-starchy green vegetables.
Yeah.
But, and I've obviously not following that as much, and my plan is to get back onto that. And my triglycerides and all the lipids that look really great is reduced by half, so it was on the healthy side. But because of the low thyroid, I'm experiencing constipation and you know, not being able to focus and concentrate as much. And so I just wanted to know what can I do to improve those while I'm trying to figure out how to improve.
And if I don't know your free T4, free T3, it's harder to say. But based on the ratio of your T4 and your T3, it sounds like you're not converting T4 effectively to T3.
So even though my liver enzymes were on the healthy side based on what my doctor told me, so he was saying that it's not a conversion issue, that maybe it's a pituitary function or something.
Okay, so when I look at this, I say yes, your TSH is on the low side. For having T4 on the low side, I would expect to see the TSH higher than that. So it could be a pituitary thing.
Okay.
It could be, yes. But there's also, because T4 is within the optimal range at 6.1, but it's still within the optimal range. It's just the low end. T3 is below the optimal range. Therefore, you're not effectively converting T4 to T3. You might want to follow up with a reverse T3 to see where your reverse T3 is. Are you under a lot of stress of any kind, physical?
Not that I could, that I know of. I mean, I use an Oura Ring and I'm sleeping really well.
Okay.
I do meditation, so I don't. I mean, not that I perceive it anyway, or you know, that I don't feel stressed. I'm getting plenty of rest. Exercising 3 days a week, doing HIIT type workout. I've added about 20 minutes of spin 3 times a week as well. So I don't Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of handle on it anyway. I mean, there's always stress.
Mm-hmm.
But here's some what I'm thinking. I think there's a conversion issue. I'd know better if I saw the 3-3 ratios.
Okay.
I'd also, are you on any other kind of hormone supplementation, testosterone or estrogen, anything like that?
No. So I'm in the process of getting a Dutch test done.
Good.
Run, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But I will be getting that done soon.
Yeah, I would suggest that. So T4 to T3, check your selenium levels. Eating 4 Brazil nuts a day can help you a lot. Did you get your antibodies tested, thyroid antibodies?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull my test results right now so that I can give you all.
So that's the other thing I would look at. Do you have an autoimmune thing going on, a T4 to T3? But here's the thing that most people don't even address is receptor resistance. So your thyroid receptors, and that's where my concern is if you take thyroid supplement medication, that if you are suffering from receptor resistance, it's going to get worse. Because your receptors get burned out. They can get hurt by insulin. They can get hurt by cortisol. They can get hurt by any kind of inflammation in your body. So I would look at,
okay,
do you have any inflammation anywhere? Have you had surgeries? Have you had any traumas, joint pains, gastritis, any of those sorts of things?
Well, I have my C-reactive protein, and that was a 0.16, so that means inflammation is low, correct?
Well, yeah, for what it measures, yes. That's
okay.
Really,
and then,
what about homocysteine?
Homocysteine was at 11.
Homocysteine is high.
Oh, that's high? Okay.
That's high. I would like to see it below 8.
Oh, below 8. Okay.
Okay,
so what does homocysteine measure again? Sorry.
It's a toxin that gets produced in the methylation pathways when there's not enough B6, B12, or folate, basically. Those are the 3 main nutrients. So you want to look at your B6, B12, and folate. You can also look at your MCV and see if that's above 90 and the homocysteine is high like that, and it's most likely B12 or folate.
B12 deficiency. Okay, I do have MHTFR SNPs, so
do.
I don't know if that, but
yes, the B12 is the folate to look at.
Okay, so the free T3 free came to 2.6, and the reverse T3 was at 16.7.
Okay, I'm going to do my little ratio calculator. And was there anything else with the, did you do a free T4?
Yeah, I have that too. T4 free direct is 0.95.
Okay, so the free T4 is slightly low. The free T3 is slightly low. Well, more than slightly, but a little bit low. The reverse T3, I'm going to calculate the ratio. There's a little ratio on the Stop the Thyroid Madness site that, T3 ratio. You want that to be, stop it right here. I'm going to put the numbers in here. So, okay, so 3T3 was 2.6, reverse T3 is 16. Did you say? I wrote it down. 7. Let's just see. Calculate ratio. So your free T, your reverse T3 is a little high compared to your free T3, which means that your body is trying to conserve. It's trying to slow down your energy, and it's moving a lot of the T4, converting it into reverse T3 instead of T3. So the Dutch test will give you some information about your cortisol levels to see if that's an issue. But in the meantime, I would look at magnesium and selenium and potentially iodine. But I don't want to say iodine unless I know what your antibodies are. Do you even get the antibodies tested?
I did. The antibodies, is that the thyroglobulin antibody?
Yeah.
That one? That's less than,
yeah,
that's less than 1.0.
Okay, and what about the TPO?
TPO was at 7.
So it's nothing substantial. There's a little bit of activity there, but nothing that I would blame this on, you know? So I think I would look at your B12 folate status. A lot of the greens will contain plenty of folate. May need a supplementation, maybe not. I don't know enough, you know, without a complete analysis. But I would look at the B12 as a supplement.
Okay.
And I would look at foods that contain selenium and magnesium. Sometimes we just don't get magnesium in from the food for whatever reason, low stomach acid, et cetera. So you can do like a liquid ionic magnesium could be helpful. And for selenium, I'd just eat Brazil nuts.
Okay, I have those, so I'll get eating that.
See what happens.
So you said about, okay,
yeah,
so you said about 4 Brazilian
nuts? 2 and 4, yeah, on average between 2 and 4 a day.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm getting the Dutch done soon, and then I also got the Spectracell, which is like a vitamin deficiency
yep.
test.
That'll
so I'm waiting on results on that.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Sorry, one more question. So if I don't have Hashimoto, do I?
No.
Is that?
No, not according
no,
to the
right?
test that I'm seeing. It doesn't look like you do. No.
Okay. All right. Okay, because I wasn't sure if I did or if.
Unlikely. The TPO is 7, but that's when it's below 10. I wouldn't call it Hashimoto. But there is a little antibody activity, but it's not, I don't think it's enough to really, you know, to be causing.
Okay. So then you're thinking that it's more of a conversion issue for me?
Yeah, and it might be iodine as well. It's just hard to tell on iodine unless you want to get an iodine load test and see.
Okay. About 2 years ago, I had that done, that tested, and it was a little bit low. So I was on iodine supplementation.
You might consider kelp as an iodine supplementation. Very good source of it.
Okay. I'll try that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. So Sandy and then Mary. Let's see if I can open these up. These are my closed ones. The other ones. Sandy. All right. Hi, Sandy.
Can you hear me? Because I had to find out where you are.
I can hear
you. Oh, good. Good. I didn't have to do anything. Hi. It's so nice to be with you. I just tuned in a few minutes ago.
Good.
Yeah. I'm doing really good. You know, this parasite program is amazing, this parasite mold program. And I just got to tell you that Nat, but I do have a question for you. I can eat ginger and turmeric now.
Oh, how wonderful.
I mean, this is just amazing. And I also can eat some chocolate. Well, sometimes, you know, I overdo it, but I still fine. But I can eat chocolate, and I can eat raw garlic. And I can drink Kavita, that lemon cayenne Kavita, carbonated water. I couldn't do it before, and I can do that. And I can do apple cider vinegar also. Before I couldn't do that. So
wow.
And my energy's better, and just a lot of things. But I'm just excited that I can eat. Ginger and turmeric, because you have all these wonderful recipes. So I make that coconut, you know, Thai curry soup, and it's so good, and I'm so happy that I can eat it.
Oh, yum.
So what I wanted to ask you about is I was on a plane recently, and this is the second time it's happened to me. The first time it happened, I thought it was because I was lying down on the plane. But then it happened recently where my ears get plugged. And Nick had said when the captain announced our descent, he said, wow, that's pretty fast for all that, you know. So it was a fairly quick descent down. But anyway, my ears got plugged up, and so you know, it's been about 3 weeks.
Ooh.
That they're getting better, but they still are plugged. And someone told me chewing gum on the descent is a good idea. I did research, but I really couldn't find a lot of information that I think would be useful.
Yeah.
But anyway, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, so chewing gum for sure, chewing something. Whenever we were descending and I had little kids, I would give them, not necessarily gum, but like a cracker or, you know,
Chewing anything.
Yeah, chewing anything. Okay. Gum. But gum is because, you know, you don't have to swallow it. You just laugh, right? You also chew.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
That helps. But that's, now, are you, have you done the thing where you hold to the end of your nose and then kind of put below?
No, I didn't do that. Yeah, I didn't do that. I saw that. I didn't know about it then.
Yeah,
I
do that on the way down now. I just do that as soon as I start to feel a little bit of plug. So you basically hold the end of your nose closed, and then you kind of try to exhale through your nose is what you, how I would describe it. And then that pushes. Cause
wait a minute, though. You're holding your nose closed.
Yes.
And you exhale. Don't you exhale out of your mouth then?
No, you have your mouth and your nose closed, and
you
blow out. It's like you're blowing, your nose.
Oh, I just trust it. Okay.
It's like you're blowing your nose, but with it closed, and just gently, not too hard. And you'll actually feel what I feel that is, because of the eustachian tube to the ear, it's connected to the nose.
Okay.
And so you can actually push some of that out.
Okay. That sounds good. So can I do both those things, chew gum and do the nose-mouth thing?
Yeah.
Nose thing? I can do both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna certainly try it.
Blowing through the nose, that I do is if I've gotten off the plane and gone, whoa, that was a fast descent. My ears are plugged. That's what I do. And I just keep doing it every 10 minutes or so until it goes away.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'll try that.
All right.
And my nose is a little congested and I have a little cough now, but I think it's because I have this new blender and outgassing and I need to wear a mask when I'm using it. And that might be some of the cause of the stuffed nose that I have.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, try it. Give it a try. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, Mary. Before I go to you, Mary, give me a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I saw a chat from Beatrice said a question about the magnesium. And there's a number of good ones these days. Glycinate tends not to aggravate the bowels. It gives tender bowels. Citrate can aggravate it. Glycinate tends to be a good one. I mean, you can get liquid mag glycinate. You can get powdered mag glycinate. You can get liquid ionic magnesium. I use one from Ultimate Warrior just came out with one. And there's one from Ultimate Superfoods I've used. There's also one from, Good State. So I like the liquids. Personally, the one I'm using right now is the Sun Warrior because somebody gave me a bottle of it. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll try that. So that's it. And, of course, chocolate's a great source of magnesium. I wonder why I like chocolate. There we go. And then it looks like Angelica, okay, I'm going to come back to that one because that one I wanted to discuss a little further, truly. Okay, so I'm going to go back. I'll come back to your question in a minute, Angelica. So, Mary, hello.
Hi there. Okay, really quick question. When we're talking about broccoli sprout powder, so I brought the one that you had recommended the last time we had a conversation on a Vital Call or whatever, and it was the, which one is this one? The Natural Food Z Foods Naturals, mm-hmm. which is great. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, so it's going to expire like next month, and I put it in the freezer. Is it okay to have it after expiration date?
If you've been keeping it cold, like if you've been keeping it on the counter, probably not. But, you know, if you've been keeping it cold in the refrigerator or freezer, it's probably good to have the expiration.
Well, I just saw it last month that it expired. I literally just put it in the freezer the last couple of, probably a month ago.
I would say it could preserve it. And, you know, just check when you're doing it to see if there's an offtake. Compare it now to after. Usually those expiration dates are, they're pretty strict, right? So if they got this limitation by powers that be, the FDA, whatever, that they have to put the expiration date on it. So I mean, sometimes because it's powdered, I have some that's older, probably older than that, and I don't even know how old it is because I put it in the jar with a label on it.
I know. That's the other issue, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's fine. I'm going to have it because, it's only about a quarter of a bag left anyways, and hopefully I can have it by the end of March anyways.
Yeah, you know, if you go a little bit beyond the expiration, probably.
I don't think so either. Okay, that's it. And I also am sending you an email regarding other stuff.
Oh, good. Yay.
Okay.
Thanks. All right.
Great.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So let me go over to the chat. And Barbara, I saw your message that you live near Dennis Wilson. And yeah, he wrote this really cool book. I heard him speak about it, and I got the book, and I really like it. All right. Angelica, I have a question about keto dieting. My stomach is having a hard time feeling full without carbs. I keep needing to eat tremendous amount of fat to feel like I can pass between meals. Interesting. So with that, you know, some people do feel that way. Are you eating enough fiber? Like, are your salads big enough? Are you getting enough, you know, if you're eating broccoli or cauliflower? Personally, if I steam up a whole big pot of broccoli, cauliflower, you know, zucchini, whatever, and I blend it, and then I add a little, I don't add a lot of fat, I add some fat, you know, coconut or avocado, and I blend it, then I'm good, right? So, but you may need to have a little bit of carb between meals, and everybody's a little different. Not everybody's cut out for a keto. So you have to feel into how you feel. And if you're eating, like, you know, pounds and pounds of nuts every day just to feel full, that's probably a sign that your body needs something else. So go with some of the things, like some sweet potatoes could be good. You had the winter squashes last week. Could be good. And see how it feels. But we always have to tune into our body. There's the guidelines, the rule books, et cetera, but what really is really tuning in to what your body responds to. I personally don't respond well to carbs. If I eat carbs, I crave carbs. If I eat carbs, I want more carbs. So I find it works better to have tremendous amount of greens and vegetables, non-starchy vegetables, and then small amounts of, if I have sweet potato, it's a little bit. If I have, tahini dressing or, you know, some sort of a nut yogurt and all that. But find what works for you. That's the whole point, is to find what works for you. Barbara says, when my ears get stopped up, I go to the chiropractor if what I'm explaining doesn't work. And, yeah, it could be that, you know, some getting your neck adjusted could really do that, too. So I agree. Being a chiropractor, I haven't been adjusted in a long time. Every now and then at a conference, I'll have somebody to adjust me, but I could use one. I could have used one the other day, but you know what? I used this bumper kind of massager, and it adjusted me. But I'm going to put myself out of business. So Lynn says she uses Mother Earth Minerals. I don't know those, but there's a magnesium there. That's great. Angelica, I have to try more carbs because I'm going way too crazy with fat. Yeah, just go gentle with it. Find what works for your body. Right? The fat doesn't have the fiber like the carbs do. So, and make sure you're eating lots of non-starchy carbs. A lot of people think they are, and they're eating these little, you know, salads from the restaurant or this little plate of vegetables, and that's not going to be enough. You need something to fill you. And if you're going to do starches like potatoes or even sweet potatoes, you can turn them into resistant starch, which shouldn't affect your blood sugars so much, by cooking them and then putting it in the freezer, the refrigerator for 24 hours and then eating them. And you can reheat them. It's okay. But you want that coldness, and it actually changes the starch to more of a resistant starch that shouldn't raise your blood sugar too much. It's all a matter of finding what works for us. Trying to scroll down again. And let's just see if anybody else, otherwise we'll call it a night. I don't see any more hands up. I'll check the Q&A one more time, and I'll check the chat one more time. It's refreshing. Let's see. Angelica, for distilled spirits, are any of the proteins from the grain left in the end products for clients who drink and have grain sensitivity? Are grain-based spirits safe? My understanding is that they are not. So if they have sensitivity to, if it depends, if it's an allergy, like I have somebody I worked with who had a really bad corn allergy, and, you know, even any of the products, like the distilled stuff, she couldn't have, and there's a lot of it that comes from corn. So it would trigger a sensitivity. So it depends on the grain sensitivity. If it's a grain sensitivity in that they have trouble with digesting the carbohydrate in there, then there's probably not enough left of it in the product. But if they have an allergy, it may be enough to trigger an allergy. So I would caution them to be careful. All right, so go into the chat. That's really good. This computer is taking way too long. All right. I'm eating a lot of the green vegetables. My stomach is a black hole. Okay. Yeah. Make sure you chew really and chew slowly. Put your fork down between bites. That's a really important part. Really important part. Okay. And then, Angelica, I know you were doing the elimination and you're doing provocation. Were you experiencing that during the elimination? Or is it just since you started eating something fast? Because it could be a food reaction that triggers you to have the craving. So that's what I'm looking at too. All right, I'm going to open up your lines, and I'll say goodbye, and on the count of three, we can all say goodbye to each other. Thank you so, so much for being here. Appreciate it. I enjoy these calls a lot, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you at the end of the month and see on the kitchen call. One, two, three. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome.